It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly visit here on KETR. I appreciate you tuning in and also listening to our archive shows here at KETR.org that are online. If you miss anything, you know, just remember, you can always go to KETR.org, and there you can listen to shows that we did a couple of years ago. Our guest today is guide Seth Vanover down at Lake Fork, and Seth's been with us many times. If you start archiving our shows, you can probably pick up a bunch of them that Seth's been on, and you'll, if you listen closely, you can learn something. I know I do every time I fish with Seth or get him on the radio, you know. Today, though, we're going to talk about a little bit different topic. Seth, I appreciate you being here, man. Are you hanging in down there at Lake Fork?
Oh, we're hanging in and loving the hot weather.
It's fishing time. Well, today, let's talk about something a little differently. My article this past week in the newspapers was comparing fishing with a lead slab to a spoon. And one of the big differences, I won't call it, yeah, it kind of is finesse. A lead slab is the go-to bait for white bass fishermen, sand bass fishermen, most lakes that I know of. That's what people use. But, you know, the reasons for that are many. One thing is a lead slab, there's hardly ever any slack in your line to miss a fish with a heavy lead slab. You're going to feel that sand bass when he hits. But, right. You know, Seth, spoons can be very, very effective. They are very effective. I use a MEPS Cyclops spoon quite a bit, and deadly. It's a lot of flash. It's a lot more flutter and action than a slab. But a lighter bait like that or one that's not designed like a hunk of lead, you have to pay attention and be attuned to it as it falls, don't you?
You do. You really do. You got to be watching your line. You'll see the twitches in your line or all of a sudden it gets straight, something like that. You really got to pay attention to it.
You bet. Well, talk about this for a minute. And, folks, Seth is one of the best finesse fishermen that I've ever fished with. He can detect a bite where when I'm fishing with him, he'll catch, if the bite is soft, he'll catch 3-1 with to what I catch. But describe, say you're using, let's get away from slabs a little bit. I'd like people to start using spoons more and just for something different and then to prove that they can be even more effective. Describe on a spinning rig, you know, when you flip the bail on a spinning reel, you're out of contact with that bait, but there's ways that you can stay in contact, isn't it?
There is. excuse me, I got stopped up throat. I'm sorry, folks. There's a simple technique you and I have discussed before. You're holding the reel and with either one of your hands, whichever one you're right or left-handed, and you can just let that line, as it peels off the spool, just let it go across your fingers. And you can detect a lot of stuff that way. If you just stay in contact with that line, don't stop it, let it free spool, but you can feel stuff, you know, just running across your fingers. You can feel a lot of things.
You can, and, you know, not so much with just the spinning reel, definitely with the spinning reel, because once that bail is flipped, you're disengaged from that bait. You can't, unless you're feeling the line, you have no clue. Now, bait casting reel, using a spoon, back to the spoon, if you, instead of using that same 20-pound line that you might be using for slab fishing, go down to about 12-pound test with your bait caster. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to fish spoons very effectively with about 10 to 12-pound line, and you're out in open water anyway. You know, you're not horsing these sand bass out of brush usually. Definitely, Seth, you can put your finger on the spool. Say when you say you make a long cast and your bait's sinking and you're beginning to, you know, crank back in, you can put your finger on the spool, but you can also keep that say you're reeling with your right hand. Go ahead and continue your crank on your reel and take that left hand that you're holding the rod, just pick that finger up and touch the line, right?
That's it. I mean, it's just simple things like that can really tune you into what's going on the other end of that line.
It's things that it's really things that fishermen seldom discuss. It's, you know, I mean, if we fish a lot, we learn to do it, and maybe just by trial and error, we do it. But you don't really talk about ways that what you're really doing to help you catch the fish. Now, on a crappie bite, or let's just say catfish, when that old catfish down there, he might be at Lake Fork, it might be a 7 or 8 pound channel cat, but he will just suck that bait in sometime, and a lot of times I can't feel it. I mean, I just don't. Maybe I could, if I did it every day like you did, I could train myself to pick up on it. But a lot of times it's a very subtle tip that you've got a fish down there, isn't it?
It is, and it's you've got to pay attention to what the rod's doing. And it's, you know what it's like when there's bait on there and there's nothing going on. You know what that feels like. Well, if anything feels different, there's a reason for it. You know, if the rod gets heavy, or if some slack appears in your line, well, why'd that happen? Well, there's probably a fish on there. So, you know, you've really got to pay attention when they're on a light bite.
Exactly. And the heavy feeling, when you're trying to describe that in words, it's tough to do.
But it is.
I mean, what does that mean? It's heavy. Well, what it means is if you... It's a change, like you just said. It's a subtle change. You can be moving that rod up and down, maybe just, you might think, just an eighth of an inch, but in essence, you're probably popping that bait up and down a lot more than that down on the bottom. But by doing that, by keeping that pressure and that occasionally upward pull on that rod tip, that keeps tension on the line and the bait. And then I think it helps you feel anything that's going on, right?
I don't use any weight. I don't like weight getting in the way of what I'm feeling, especially catfishing. There's been times you've been out there with me that you're like, did I get a bite? I don't know. Well, if you think you got a bite, you probably did. Because you have felt something different that's going on. You know, that the line's real light. All of a sudden, there's slack in it. Well, that's not normal. Now, that hunk of cheese bait ain't going to swim up. Something's going to pick it up and bring it up.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's paying attention to your rod. You know how heavy your rod is. Well, if all of a sudden it feels like it's trying to pull out of your hand, there you go. You got a bite.
Go ahead and jerk that rod tip up, and 90% of the time you'll feel a tug on the end of it. You'll have a catfish. That's true. Crappie fishing you use jigs a lot not only in winter but also in the summer, Seth. And instead of vertical fishing those, a lot of times you like to cast into submerged cover and work it back through the brush, don't you?
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do. I love it. We'll sit off of the brush piles, and I'll pitch a jig out over where I know the brush is, and I'll pull it. I let it sink all the way to the bottom, and I pull it back, working it through the brush pile ends. Get hung up a little bit, but when you learn how to, when you feel, you know what a brush limb feels like versus a crappie thumb, and you just pop it over that limb. You know, don't set the hook. Don't set the hook into that brush. Just pop it over that limb. And 9 times out of 10, that's when you're going to get a strike. But it's a different feel running across a limb versus a crappie pump. And a lot of times what you got to look for on stuff like that is your line. You're not going to feel them. You know, when you pop them over that limb, there's going to be a little slack in your line. And you'll see that line twitch when a crappie thumps it.
Exactly. And a good comparison it to that, as far as feeling the bite, in the winter, I used to fish around, had a buddy that had a boat stationed in a marina. And in the winter, that's really what he did. I think he kept his boat slip more so to fish in the winter for crappie than he did to use his boat, you know. But he would keep that thing brushed out with Christmas trees and whatnot. And I really, years ago, he was a master at subtle bites. You have to be in the winter. But he'd fish with crappie jigs, you know, that's what he used. And his key on the jigs for that vertical fishing was to make sure that the jig hung at a 90-degree angle to the line. And I'll swear, you know, you seldom ever felt that crappie hit. But he was a line watcher, like you were talking about. And he taught me to do that. Watch that line, and there might be the slightest twitch when they're on a lethargic bite. And then, boy, when that happens, it's time to rear back, set that hook, isn't it?
Yep, cross your eyeballs.
Yep. Well, it's subtle fishing is something that there's times
it's hard,
when
hard to describe.
Hard to describe. Yes.
I tell you, it's just hard to describe.
And it's fishing is not, the bite is not subtle all the time. I would say most of the time when the water's warm, you don't have to worry about it. Sometimes you do, you know, but as a rule, when the water's warm during the summer, well, it's late spring through fall, you know, official, he's not timid about whacking that bait, whether it's an artificial or a piece of cheese bait or whatever. But when the bite gets subtle, these kind of tips right here, they will help up your fish, your chances for a big fish fry, Seth. That's for sure. Right now at Lake Fork, tell us what's going on. I know the catfish is been, they were real good, but the wind had change, that little north wind program come through earlier in this past week and kind of shifted them around, but that could be changed day to day, couldn't it, you know?
No, it did change back yesterday. They're back to normal.
They got back good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, if you want to catch some white bass, sand bass at Fork, what's some tips on that? Put the boat in the water?
Yeah, pretty much. Just put the boat in the water, find you anywhere from 14 to 18 foot of water on a good, long, flat shelf. And if you drive over it with your engine, you'll see it light up. They are everywhere right now.
All right.
They're schooling all over the lake. Anywhere you go, you're going to see a school of white bass come up. Now, if you see a school of white bass, they may come up, and they're in 40 foot of water.
Right.
But they're not going to be but 15 to 14, 15 foot deep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But most of them right now are hanging on flat shelves anywhere from 14 to 18 feet.
Good time to get some good white bass fillets. And you know, you and I both understand the fact that when you're trimming those fillets, filleting them, when you run down that skin side, if you leave that fillet knife up about an eighth of an inch, most of that red meat will stay with the skin side, you know. They're pretty good eating. Seth, we're about out of time. Lake Fork Cat and Crappie, lakeforkcatandcrappie.com, or on Facebook. If someone wants to call you and get more information on Lake Fork, how do they reach you?
That's 903-736-4557.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex, Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.